one ugly Christmas present. It's kind of the Charlie Brown Christmas tree of Christmas presents. And while I would say that I worked really hard to make it ugly, I'm not sure that when I try to make a Christmas present look good, it looks much better. But, you know, Christmas. Kind of want to get past any of the ugly days and any of the sad days, get past any of the struggles and the challenges, and you kind of want to get past all that and hope that actually there is a beautiful layer underneath. That's what we want to get to. We want to get to that beautiful layer. We're not so content to stay with the ugliness. And so maybe we should rush to uncover all the pretty paper, or rush to see what's in the package. But to this, we need to remember our theme today is no rush. That's right. That's not how Christmas presents work, right? Whether it's ugly wrapped or it's beautiful, you can't really rush. You gotta wait for Christmas Day. You can't rush to open the packages. And that's not how Advent works, rushing. Advent isn't about rushing. That's why we're calling it slow Advent. We're calling it slow Advent in case we forget, in case all we can think about is rushing to get to the pretty paper and open the present and get there and rush all past this Advent stuff. So no rush. The hopeful, beautiful words of Christmas, the gospel, the scriptures, those beautiful words only take on full dimension when we remember the ugly package, the ugly truth of this life. We can't rush past the ugly wrapping because then we'll never fully see why. Just why God's words are so beautiful. If we just rush past all this ugliness, we won't see why God's words are so helpful, beautiful, amazing. Go to page 7 in your bulletin. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 is an announcement. It's an announcement of a hopeful day, a day when God will restore, redeem, renew the land, will renew his creation, will renew his people. It is this announcement that comes after Isaiah has announced plenty of doom. And if we just rush to see the little happy things in Isaiah 35, we won't truly see the full dimension of this. So first, we have to pay attention to the ugly things, the difficult things here in Isaiah 35. We have to see that God is talking about wilderness. He's talking about the desert. That he's talking about dry land. All these images of the land, the creation, not being able to produce anything. It's a drought. It's dry. It's been burned up. It is under judgment. It is not very hopeful. We have to see those words in their full dimension. It's almost like you need to have that written out there as a passage. You almost need like something really visual jumping out at you at each of those things. Wilderness, dry land, desert. You have to have those jumping out at you before you turn to the shiny things there. Because there's shiny things there, aren't there? There's hope in these verses. Look at the first two verses. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. There is plenty of shiny things going on there. But what I'm hoping that you'll see is that we need to pay attention to the wilderness, the desert, the dry land in order to see just how shiny those words are, these words of hope. Isaiah keeps going, and he talks about the difficulty and the ugliness and the struggle for the people. The people have weak hands and feeble knees and anxious hearts. And it doesn't just mean like they need knee replacement surgery. I mean, feeble knees is like their knees are buckling. They are losing energy. They are losing any kind of confidence. Their knees are shaking, right? Their anxious hearts, their weak hands, because they're just feeling like, what good is it? There's no strength left in them. Those words need to jump out at us. Those words need to be things that we don't skip over, don't rush past, because those words, well, they resonate with our experience. They resonate with all the anxiety and the feebleness and the weakness that we might feel, so that when we read these words, the difficult words jump out so that we see the shiny words even more. Verse 3. Right? Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come, and he will come and save you. Those are shiny words. They are hopeful words. But don't they take on a different meaning when we remember the difficulty that they overcome? Again, Isaiah points to the land, right? Down in he points to the people again. Get myself all turned around. See? He points to the people again, right? Verse 5. He talks about them being blind and deaf and lame and mute. All the calamities of this life, all the challenges of this life, God is pointing out this ugly truth of how this life is, and yet then he is bringing us these shiny words right there. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Those are shiny words, but you can't rush past the difficulty. And then you go to the land again. The land is there's burning sand and thirsty ground. The land is without life. And yet there's hope again, that the burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. Do you see this? We can't rush past the ugly wrapping. We can't rush past the ugly truth, the brokenness of this life, and we're all tempted to do that because we'd rather get here. I'd rather get there. But I don't think I'd understand this shiny if I didn't understand what God had been doing in the midst of ugliness. John the Baptist knew this. John the Baptist knew this. And Jesus, in teaching the crowds, is saying, why did you go out to see John the Baptist? People were going out into the wilderness to see him. But Jesus is kind of saying, you know, did you go out there wanting to skip ahead to the beautiful, to the hope, did you want to skip ahead and think that John was out there in soft clothing, like he was out there as an example of luxury, and you were going to go out there and find treasures like that too? Did you want to go out to see John the Baptist because you wanted to see something nice? Did you want to have a happy experience, Jesus seems to be saying. And instead, Jesus says, what did you go out to see? Or what did you get to see? A prophet. A prophet, and there is always violence against prophets who speak God's truth. John was out there saying, repent. And you can't repent without admitting your sin. You can't turn away from your sin if you don't admit your sin. So there's John the Baptist, the prophet, and people fighting against him because he is calling on them to repent. He is mentioning their sin. He is mentioning God's wrath. And for all of that, he's in prison. What did you go out to see? A nice, happy experience? You can't rush past these things trying to get to the happy Christmas. Because Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is beautiful and hopeful and wondrous exactly because of this ugly, packaged, broken world. It's beautiful and hopeful because this broken world, us broken people, need the beauty of the gospel. Now, what I don't mean is that you have to go around all glum and everything. But I'm hoping that this all helps you to remember that when you do feel out of step during Advent or Christmas season, right? When you do feel out of step on out of that, when you hear that it's supposed to be the happiest time of the year, and you're not feeling that, I want you to be aware that we can't really rush past the ugly package reality. We can pretend we could, but that's not how Advent works, and that's not how life works. And in these moments when you have slowed down and are truthful and honest about your own sin and about the brokenness in your life, maybe this will all help you to remember that God didn't speak beautiful words to beautiful people. Isaiah 35 doesn't say, hey, beautiful people, everybody who's got everything working really well for them, come and let me tell you, I'm going to make everything work really well for you. No, he speaks beautiful words in difficult places, in difficult lives. He spoke of beautiful scenes breaking out in barren places. His spirit being at work in unspiritual people. His life making the dead alive. Don't rush past some of God's words just to get to the shiny words. Don't rush ahead to something like blossom without first realizing we're talking about a desert, and the desert will rejoice and blossom like a crocus. Creation will be renewed from its broken, threatened, polluted, worn out, abused state. Here comes God to renew it. And your heart also will blossom. Your desert heart will bloom, renewed by God's Holy Spirit. What did you go out in the wilderness to see when you went to John the Baptist? Someone who told you that your heart is a desert. Your heart is a wilderness. But there is one who is coming who will cause the desert to bloom. What did you go out to see? What will you go out to see on Christmas? Will you go out to see a beautiful little pageant for beautiful people? Or will you go out on Christmas, having had this slow Advent, will you go out knowing your desert, knowing the wilderness, knowing that if God says it will blossom and bloom, that you know that he has broken in an amazing, shiny way, in a way that never should have been there. We had no hope of the ugly becoming beautiful. That's no rush Advent. Stay in that word of hearing that tough word, because then you also hear the beautiful words of God. Now, one final thought. Some of you have been thinking the whole time, by the end of the sermon, pastor's going to tear off all the package, and he's going to reveal a beautiful package. Some of you are also wondering what's inside. He's going to open it. You haven't been listening. We are not rushing to open the package. We are not rushing to make it shiny today. We are knowing our sin and knowing that we need God to break in with his happiness and holiness and his good news, but we're not rushing. What's this series called? Slow Advent. What did we talk about today? No rush. So, I'm gonna put it back behind the tree. You'll have to wait for Christmas Day to see what's in here. Amen.